Welcome back to the Whispers from the Shadow podcast. If you're wondering why Miz is massaging his face, we just had a funny happen on a test recording. It'll be included on the video of this.
Oh, but yeah, well, and my cheeks hurt. Sorry, guys. Like, I'm just trying to make sure I have feeling in them and not, like, die from crying.
Yeah.
We had a blooper reel happen. Hi, it's Miz.
I'm Super Jimmy.
Me and Jimmy were literally getting ready to record. And as we normally do, we get in our talking fits and we're discussing what we're going to be shooting for today. And then we go on little talks.
Yeah.
We're doing a test recording, make sure everything's finalized because, you know, never hurts to be on the safe side. And we just had a great moment. And I'll leave it at that because we'll include the audio. So, and for those who are going to watch the video, you'll see the video of it and it's going to be just amazing. Love you guys.
Yeah, the video form of it is going to be better than the audio in this case.
Imagination of hearing the audio, you can only imagine, you know?
Yeah, but just my visceral reaction to that was hilarious.
And then just like the realization of me like trying to not laugh, and it's like, you were recording, right?
Like, yeah.
I didn't even know you were recording this.
I was like, oh my God.
Anywho, do you want to explain our topic today?
So today we're talking about some good PG-13, non-R-rated horror movies that we both enjoyed and some that we don't. So it's just basically non-R-rated / PG-13 horror movies. And
yeah, it's just in the very, very like general audience ones. They're not gory. They're not violent. They're more subjective, if you will, or leave more to the imagination. Except for some of the older ones we will talk about.
Yeah. Like Monster Squad. Can never talk enough about that movie.
But that movie's pretty gory.
Surprisingly, yeah. I mean, for especially what?
Wolfman gets blown up.
1987? Yeah, for 1987, yeah. But as always, we'll extend the question out to you guys. What are some PG-13 horror movies or some movies that you didn't know were PG-13 that are horror movies that you liked, disliked? Let us know.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. Like, I personally, this is where I'm like 50-50. So when I see like the word horror, like when you're branding horror, like through your trailers and stuff, and I get PG-13, I don't take the movie seriously for the most part. Because I do like my blood and gore, and I'm a very like, that's why everyone keeps telling me to watch the Terrifier movies. I still have yet to see those.
Same.
But that's the kind of person I am. But I will always appreciate the good PG-13 horror movies. I will start off with one of my favorites and one of my least favorites. One of my all-time favorites. I always go back to Signs because I remember being 12 years old in the theater and that movie scaring me. Fantastic. Like, there's so many that are like going back to that, that I feel still can like resonate with audiences today in some ways, you know?
And I think Signs was probably on the better end of like PG-13 horror movies, because the Village, also both of these M. Night Shyamalan movies, I'm not the biggest fan of M. Night Shyamalan, but Signs was on the good end of that. Village was kind of on the bad end, because you kind of,
for a lot of people, it was on the bad end. Yeah, same with Lady in the Water.
But
he's been more of the like what a twist person, and I've enjoyed his works, I really have. But one that I was not a fan of, and I'm a big fan of the book, World War Z. Like, I know it was like heavily CG'd, didn't really follow what everybody wanted. Everyone was really pissed off about it, but they did the attempt. And I was like, again, my mind, I hear zombies, I immediately think blood and gore. And when I get a PG-13 zombie movie, I get really fucking frustrated.
Yeah, I would agree.
So that's pros and cons for me on that end.
Honestly, I was actually surprised by this, but the Poltergeist movie from 82, I always forget that one's PG-13, but that one's easily probably one of my all time favorites.
And this still holds up today. Like, again, when you know its backstory and its history, like, it's even more like, oh, that's really fucked up. But like, it still holds up today. Like, it still terrifies people. I mean, yeah, it's dated, but like, again, depending on what age you watch that movie still sticks with you.
Yeah, because it like the one scene that I do remember, and it's not the scene that everybody's going to, you know, talk about where like she was floating in the pool of water with actual dead bodies because they were cheaper than prop bodies. Fun fact for that movie, those were actual like skeletons and they didn't know about it at that point in time. But my favorite scene was where the little girl's like touching the TV and the mom comes down the stairs and she's like, what are you doing? And she's like, they're here.
Because that's one of the most iconic scenes. Most iconic.
the reason that scene stuck with me, though, is because we had that exact same television in my house when I was watching the movie on, and I was just like,
I'm gonna die.
I was like, they're gonna pull me into it, but
I don't want to go.
But what was really funny is I remember watching Poltergeist at home, but seeing the Monster Squad for the first time at a drive-in movie theater in Michigan when I lived there in a little town called Grand Haven. If anyone's familiar with Michigan, hi. I lived there for a little bit. I lived in Grand Haven for 2 years, I think, and then moved back to Colorado. But yeah, I remember watching Monster Squad at a drive-in in an old Winnebago. And what me and my mom did was, instead of like driving up normally, is what we would do is we would buy like an air mattress or grab like beanbag chairs and put them in the back and then back in and put the, cause our Winnebago had the roll down window on the back, and we put the speaker on that.
Powered windows.
Yep. And that's how we would watch the movie, because if we were sitting in the front seat, you could only sit back so far, you know, move around so much and stuff like that. But if we backed in, we legit would like sit on the beanbag chair or like just put the two back seats down, because it also had that feature. I love that car. And that's how we would watch the movie, is we would just sit in the back with like a bucket of popcorn, you know, crisscross applesauce style, and friggin' just watch the movie. And we're like, and that's honestly one of my earliest memories, was just that watching two movies in that Winnebago, Toy Soldiers or Small Soldiers. No, it was Toy Soldiers, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's such a fucking fantastic movie.
And a Monster Squad for Halloween, because what they would do is they would start playing like old, family-friendly, more family-friendly horror movies during that time. They would play like your Monster Squads, your
Horrors.
Yep, Little Shop of Horrors. And then what was the name of that movie with the guy from Naked Gun where he played Dracula?
Oh, yeah, I got done loving it. I love that. It's one of my favorite Mel Brooks films. Love
and
that
young, movie. And Young Frankenstein. That's what they would show around Halloween time.
Like my family tradition, honestly, like my entire family has seen that movie no less than like 200 times, if not way more than that. We love that movie and we quote it like every chance we get. Like there's not a day that goes by that I'm hanging out with my brother, my mother, my father, or my sister, and we quote that fucking movie at least once.
My favorite scene out of that whole thing was where they're going in the house and they say Fabluka, lightning crashes, the horse is winning. Horses, yeah. And then as they like get in everything, Igor is like, he goes, and he just smiles and goes back in. Like, I love that scene.
My favorite scene is when they've discovers that Victor's his dad and everything. And where he finds out his father's lab, all the research and all that, and starts doing the mad scientist stuff. But I love where he's just like, there's the lit cigar, and then they're like, and a violin. And then just Igor is like, still warm. Like that whole fucking scene is like my favorite. Like, it's so good.
Put the candle back.
It's just, there's so many classics. Like Mel Brooks is a genius. I fucking love that man.
He's still alive.
I know he is.
That man's going to live us all.
For real. What's one that you disliked?
One that I disliked? I said The Village, but honestly, I might catch some flack for this. I didn't like Old. And that's not because it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I appreciated Old. I really did. Like I enjoyed Old for what it was. I liked him trying something new in that sense.
Yeah.
I that's what I enjoyed. But it's not his best work, I will agree. But I enjoyed it. I liked what I got of it. Same with, like, I know a lot of people shit on The Visit. I enjoyed The Visit. A lot of people are not like super happy with Trap, but I loved Trap. I thought Trap was great. Like I had a blast.
I still gotta see that.
But, like M. Night, I really do appreciate.
I do and I don't, because there's like for every good one that he's made like a bunch of shitty ones for me, like The Happening, The Village, Old,
Avatar.
But honestly, if I were to compare Village to Old, I would rather watch Old over Village, just because it wasn't really that scary.
It wasn't meant to be scary, except for, I guess, if you call the cave scene scary. I mean, more psychological trauma, I guess, would be more of the better one, especially with the kids. But yeah, no, I see what you mean. Trust me, I do.
When did Village come out? Came out in 2004. I was 12. So that would have, you know, like everything that they
grade going to be a freshman.
I was getting ready to go into seventh grade. Yeah. But the thing that I didn't like about The Village was that when I watched the trailer at home, they made it look way scarier because they didn't show the monster. They made it, they had the scene where like the dude got snatched out of the, they had a scene where like a dude got snatched out of a window and was never in the movie. They had like,
That's one of the main reasons why I stay away from trailers as much as I can, because in my head, when I watch the trailer, the scenes they show in that fucking movie, I'm looking out for in the movie. And every time that happens, I find it myself ruining the movie for myself. It's like, they haven't shown this part yet. When's that coming up? Because I need to know where that's going to tie into the movie. That's why I like about some more recent horror movies are not revealing too much. Yeah. Like again, even with Trap, it's such a simple concept. And like, they show you pretty much what the concept is. And that's like literally the first like 15 minutes of the film, maybe first 30 minutes. The rest of the movie is just like, you're blindly going into how certain things are. And it's so good. It's so good. But that's why, again, with trailers, I'm so careful with it because I do exactly what you just pointed out where you're like, remember the trailer, where is it going to happen?
Yeah.
Waiting for that one scene.
And what made it bad for me was the fact that everything that they showed in the trailer, none of it was in the movie. And I was like, where's the movie I was promised? You know, that really messed me up. But what threw me off for Old was that I went in knowing it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I wasn't expecting anything. I just went off of your recommendation. I was like, okay, I do like the premise of the movie, but I don't see how it's a horror, you know, like it just.
Thriller. It's more thriller and drama, but that's it is fair. In the horror category because it's M. Night, obviously.
Yeah.
It's almost like Del Toro. Almost anything he does is already thrown into that as well, like fantasy horror and stuff.
That's fair. But let's see. For me, I think one that I would have. Oh, wait, hold on. I see one on the list that I'm sorry. Scratch my answer. Strike my answer from the record. Drag Me to Hell. That movie was comically bad. And what they did right, I did enjoy, but
I'm going to be real with you. I'm biased towards that movie. Sam Raimi, I enjoy the movie.
I like the parts that I enjoyed weren't like what fucked it up for me, honestly, was the ending. I didn't enjoy any part of it. I didn't enjoy the ending because of the CGI was comical. Okay,
it wasn't meant. I mean, Raimi never went for like super like you have. I mean, technically Evil Dead was supposed to be a serious one, but it came off so bad and that was just his shtick from then on out. But like, no, I know where you're coming from. I enjoyed that though. I loved how like you expected her to live and she doesn't. Spoiler alert for a fucking old ass movie.
When did that come out? It came out in 2009. But the one two scenes from that movie that I did enjoy. The scene with the goat where it was like they put the demon into the goat and it was like flying around the room fucking shit up and just whooping people's ass. And then the scene where the body rolled out of the coffin on top of her, because that happened to me when I was a kid. My great aunt passed away and I went to look up into the coffin and they didn't lock the scissor lift. So part of it came down and she fell out on top of me. And I was just like, so yeah, I can those two scenes I did really enjoy because I was just like, oh no.
Whoa. That's fair. But I fully get that.
Yeah. The ending just kind of fucked up the whole movie for me.
We did talk about this one. We still have talked about this on the podcast before, but like now we can go into more depth. One of mine, and I know one of Jimmy's like all time favorite PG-13 horror movies, just because of how fucked up it is 1408. It is such a film. Holy hell.
Such a good film. Like I don't know why I didn't think it was a PG-13 movie because it doesn't show any gore. I mean, the book is
not much. There's not much gore whatsoever.
Because I remember
psychological horror that fucks with you so hard.
And I remember I read the book after I watched the movie because I didn't know it was the Stephen King adaptation. But I read the book after I watched the movie. And the book goes into way more psychological stuff. Like you're actually like it was a real good, I'm not a big avid reader. And to anybody that is, you know, kudos to you that reads the horror genre. Cause it's not that I don't like to read the horror genre. It's just that some books just lose my interest. So I got to like take it a chapter at a time.
There's some that are dry and it does take a while for it to build up.
Yeah. And 1408, it was bam, 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 bam. I finished that book in like a week or two. And I was like, wait, that part wasn't in the movie, but I see why they didn't put that in the movie, because they didn't want to make it an R-rated film, because they had like a naked scene in the book, and they showed someone getting decapitated, or in the book it mentioned someone getting decapitated or something like that. And then at the end of it, you don't know if he made it out. And the book and the movie are very close, and like I still to this day don't know if he actually made it out of the room, because it's kind of like that one movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where he spins the top at the end.
Inception.
Yeah, Inception. And you're like, did he make it out? Did he not? Like,
that's always the age old debate, but I think it was Michael Caine that already disproved that a few years ago, maybe longer, where he's pretty much like any scene that he's in, it's the real world. Because how many times when you see them go in through all the different like sleep states and everything like that, do you see him?
That's fair. That's fair. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. But, and when he pointed that out, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because one of my friends was like, they had to break out like red string and pictures and pin it up on their wall. And it like, basically her whole premise was that he made it out because at the end you see the top wobble. That was basically mm-hmm. the whole premise. And I was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I could kind of see that. But
yeah, no, like that movie I can go on for days about. I fucking love that movie.
That movie's so good. If you haven't watched it, comes highly recommended from both Miz and myself. Watch 1408. Oh, yeah. If you're looking for something that gives you both a combination of jump scare, a lot of like, did this happen? What was he hallucinating, or was he just losing his mind? Was the place really haunted or not? Like, it just puts you through the ringer for what, 45 minutes, an hour? Because like the first 10 minutes is just like,
it's like an hour like, and well, for things like it fucks with you. Like you get like a good 15 minutes to like warm up for the shit you're going to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it gives you like a backstory on the room and the hotel and like everything that's happened and what he's investigating, why he's there. And then a little bit about his background. And then
boom,
just
and then you're locked in. And it's so good.
It's really, now, really is. I enjoyed it.
And this is where the unpopular opinion from me comes out. Both the original and the Americanized versions, I am not a fan of. I do not care for The Grudge, and I do not care for The Ring. I did not find them scary whatsoever. I did not find them entertaining whatsoever. And I get a lot of shit for that. I know they have a very strong fan basis. You like them, you like them. That's fine.
Yeah.
More for me.
I will say this, though. The Ring and The Grudge got me based off of the Ring from when they like... when they found the girl in the closet and they showed her face, that got me. But The Grudge, it got me more than The Ring did, because I think I watched The Ring first and then I watched The Grudge. But I was sitting there playing my GameCube on my bubble TV, and my mom was watching, or no, my uncle was watching The Grudge on the living room TV, because I like, Hurricane Charlie hit and we had to move into a one bedroom apartment. So I legit just slept on a folded up mattress on the floor, folded up futon mattress on the floor, because we were rebuilding our house and stuff like that. So I didn't have a bedroom at the time. And so my bedroom was literally just a folded up futon mattress and my TV. That was it. And then I'm sitting there playing a game on my GameCube. What the game was, I don't remember, but I was looking up, doing this back and forth. And when the girl's turning around in the attic, I'm focused on my fucking my game on the GameCube. And then I like hit pause. And right when I hit pause, she turns around and the thing is in her face. I threw down my controller and scrambled backwards, because I was like, what is this movie? Like, I hadn't paid attention to anything else for the entirety of the movie. But for the rest of the time, I was like, I just turned my GameCube off and went back. I think it was playing Spyro, Enter the Dragon on GameCube. But yeah, like I just turned the game. I saved the game, turned the game off, and then just watched the rest of the movie. And yeah. It like just that one scene was like the scariest part, but I can understand why some people don't like them. But
again, I know I understand why they were scary to people. I understand why everyone was terrified of them. I get it. It's the same thing again. I can understand with It Follows. I truly can. Yeah. I still think it's a garbage ass movie. I still with The Ring and The Grudge, like they're not for me. Like I credit them for like bringing in a lot of people for the horror genre and everything, but like,
yeah,
they're not my movies. That's all.
Like the first one for both franchises, for me, I can honestly say I enjoyed, for what they did for the horror movie franchise. But honestly, I don't think they're scary anymore, if that makes sense.
No, see, I equate it to like the first time I saw, you know, a lot of the old monster movies. Like, how do people get scared from this? You know, like, oh, this is so cheesy or whatever. That's how I felt with those movies for me personally. Again, I enjoy them for what they have done for the horror genre. I enjoy them for being a good part of history and everything. They're just not my movies. But I'm also the sucker for those monster movies at the same time. So,
yeah. You know, one movie that I remember watching. Oh, God, I didn't watch it when it came out, but I remember watching it as a kid. It's right here. When did this come out? 2001 or something like that, I think it was. The Others with Nicole Kidman. I remember watching that and just not 2001. Just not expecting, because that one was the first movie that I remember watching that had like some psychological elements in it. And it wasn't jump scare reliant. It was more story dependent on the scare. Like, it was telling you essentially what was going on, and what you expected to happen wasn't what was happening. And then by the end of it, you're like, oh my God, because like at the end of it, it's not only a plot twist, but it's also like a heart. It's also like pulling at your heartstrings and a plot twist. So you're like,
yeah, no, I agree. I like I said, I will agree with that. Like, it's, again, I will appreciate it, just still not for me.
Yeah. If you haven't seen The Others and you kind of like the plot twist reliant scary movies that will kind of give you a little bit of a start, Others is good. What Lies Beneath is another one.
But that's technically,
yeah,
I do believe.
Because you can, the non-director's cut is PG-13. Director's cut is R-rated because of a nudity scene, I do believe, or slight hint of a breast. That movie came out in like 98 or something like that. When did that come out? 2000.
I don't remember when it came out, but I remember everyone being the talk of the town of the movie because it was the first like Harrison Ford bad guy movie.
He did a good job, honestly. He did a great job.
That's another one for you.
Let's see a bad one for me. Honestly, I would have to say
bad or good, unless you want to take my 1408 because we were gushing over that.
I did love 1408. A good one for me, and not something that I heard a lot of people talk about, was the newer Boogeyman. Like, it's actually,
you mentioned it to me. I still need to watch it, but like I said, like the original one is still good. Like, it's not the greatest movie ever, but what made that movie so impressionable is that beginning, that intro.
Oh my God.
I fucking swear to God, like every kid who's ever like felt like the Boogeyman was there for them and everything, that felt like that scene immediately was just like, I'm a fucking 2-year-old under my covers again. Like, holy shit, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like that beginning scene is done so well. Cause I feel like every kid at some point or another has just been like, I'm going to stare at my closet and now I'm seeing figures and I don't like that. The dark people are coming after me. Oh, the shadow people are coming here. Oh no, I'm going to die.
Your brain just tricks you.
Yeah. You just go into fucking fight or flight mode and you're stuck frozen. Like, mm-hmm. That's such a banger opening. I fucking love that opening. Oh, it still gets me today.
The opening to this one is different. I'm going to have to rewatch it to refresh my memory, but I enjoyed the new one. I love the old one. The original one that came out when we were kids,
like 04 or some shit, I think.
Yeah. And then there's this one movie, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but I only remember the premise of it. I think it might have been R-rated, but basically this group of four teenagers are getting stalked by the ghosts of a killer, and it, like, the way that it kills is it possesses one of them. It wasn't loved by a lot of people because it was kind of campy in some places, but I enjoyed it. I can't remember the name of it.
Dude, one of my favorite horror movies, I think, is PG-13, is Tremors. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. I love that. Dude, Tremors is like a staple for us.
Classic.
Because
it's a stupid movie, but it's great.
Because you have Kevin Bacon trying to hit the nail and he misses so many times.
There's just so many great things in there from that fucking movie. Like, oh, it's so good. It's so stupid, but it's so good. It's so fucking great. I love that movie. I love that franchise, as dumb as it is.
It was so good. Let's see. Another one that I actually really loved was, I think it was called Devil.
Yeah, Devil was PG-13. I went into that movie knowing absolutely dick about it, other than it all being on an elevator. That's literally all I knew. And I was like, okay, I'm curious to see how they're going to do this. And I absolutely enjoyed that movie. I thought that movie was done very, very well.
I liked it.
I really liked that movie. Is it the greatest? No, but I really enjoyed it. For a PG-13 movie, I was really, really impressed with it. I liked what I got out of it.
It says The Hunt, but no, this one came out in like 2011. Or no, it came out like 2009 and 2011. And I can't remember. Ghost of the Killer.
Bad one for you.
A bad one for me? Honestly,
that's a good question, actually. Let me look at the list I have pulled up.
For me, honestly, I would have to say, that one I did like. I didn't like the new Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
I haven't seen it, so I have no opinion on it, but I'm also not the biggest FNAF fan.
Same. I
it's too kid friendly for me. Yeah. I know it's not technically kid friendly. I know it's scary, blah, 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 blah. I get it. Other people preach it to me, but like, I know a lot of people grew up with that franchise. So I know why it's popular and everything, but it's like it never appealed to me. The only time I played anything related to Five Nights at Freddy's, I had my PS4 and I had the PS Move, and I played the Help Wanted in VR. And in VR, yeah, that shit's pretty terrifying, but it's fun. And I enjoyed what I got out of it. But playing the regular games, I tried them. I was like, this is not for me. I don't mind the jump scares, but it just gets too repetitive. And I can only deal with so much repetitivity in such a short time.
Yeah, but the name of the movie was My Soul to Take. It was directed and written by Wes Craven, but it was R rated.
Well, you did say you didn't know if it was PG or PG-13 or R. So,
but yeah, that was a good movie. I enjoyed that, but a lot of my friends didn't for some reason. I don't know why.
I do have another good one that I love and one that I hate. But I want to hear what one you hate right now or dislike or didn't agree with.
Let's see. For me, I'd have to go with the Lights Out movie.
I will agree with you on that one. I was severely disappointed because I called out literally the premise of the whole movie right before walking into there. And I was so pissed off that I did, because I was like, it better not be something predictable. And it was something predictable.
What ruined it for me was that I remember watching the YouTube short film that inspired the movie. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the trailer, and then I seen the trailer on it, and I was like, okay. I was like, I kind of want to see it. And then when I watched it, I was like, why did I watch this? Because it was an hour and 21 minutes long. I was just like, I didn't enjoy any of that. Like, even the part where it got to where the lady was like flicking the light on and off, and then it was like slowly moving towards her from across the room and stuff like that. And she was like, click, 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 click. And then when she turned it off the last time and it wasn't there, and she turned around and it came up and snatched her, everyone else around me jumped. And I was just like, okay, it was kind of like one of those like moments for me.
The concept was there, but the fact that you always have to put like some basic ass story behind it is what always pisses me off.
It's like, oh, my mom bullied this girl in high school, and she drove herself to not love herself, and now she's a vengeful spirit.
Or it was like my best friend from childhood that this happened, and now they're trying to protect me or some stupid shit. Like, it's so basic and so annoying. It's like, whatever. But again, I liked the concept of it. I really did.
On the flip side of that, though, I did like Mama.
I never saw Mama.
I enjoyed it because I could understand the premise of wanting to protect your child. Like, even though she was like supposed to be like a vengeful spirit, I could understand that premise being a dad, because I watched it after I had my oldest, and I was like, okay, I get it.
No, yeah, for sure. I can understand that one.
And it's like when someone asked me, it's like, what villain do you think was right, Mama?
Like, so the one I had that I absolutely love, and biasism is heavily there, is Insidious.
Yes.
I love Insidious. The first one is done fucking so well. And again, I don't think anybody was prepared for the red lipstick demon scene, because like that, I remember watching that movie. I was like, I'm really liking what like James Wan's doing. And that scene happened, and fuck, it's like, oh, fuck. And like, it just, it hits so out of left field. No one's ready for it. It's done fucking well. And it's like one of the few times you're like, that jump scare was 1,000% worth it.
Yeah. Like I was in the movie theater watching that with my best friend at the time. And I was legit like scratching the inner part of my thigh when that happened. And when that jump scare, or like when it showed her face and it switched over to his and showed the friggin' lipstick demon, I punched myself in the gonads just hard. And I said, oh,
yep. It's done so well. It is done so well. And now this is where I'm gonna get a lot of flack, because a movie I did not like, I appreciated it. I wanted more. And then the second one happened and I quote unquote got more, but I did not like it as well either. Is a Quiet Place franchise.
Yeah.
I have huge, huge gripe with that franchise for two reasons. One, how the fuck are you going to tell me high frequency is what's going to fucking hurt them when they're like, oh, the US military can't take them on. And it's like a fucking jet going by would fucking just shatter them right then and there. Like there's so many other things, fucking Apache helicopter coming in, fucking little birds coming in. Like there's so many things that would be setting their fucking sensors off. I doubt that for one. But number two is that I did like how little they used the monsters until the final act. I just wanted slightly more. And like that slightly more is like maybe a couple more scenes of the like hunting before like actually the big climax of them either beating them or escaping or whatever happens. You know, I want just slightly more. And I didn't get that. So I was like, I liked it. It wasn't great. And then you get more of them in the second one. I was like, they used them too much. Now it's like, hey, I'm here. Look at me. Ooh, look at me. I'm dancing. I'm the monster. Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, like it, there wasn't a balance for me, I guess. And that's the reason why I didn't like it. And that's just a subjective thing. There's still good movies. There's still like really praised movies. I really do like them. It's just personal thing. That's what makes me not like them.
I agree. I would agree with that, because I watched the first one and I was like, okay, you know, I get it. They're trying not to get caught by the monsters. Then I watched the second one and I was like, how did they not get caught by the monsters? And now they have the third one out. That's like A Quiet Place Day One. And I'm
I didn't care to see it. Like, I was like, not for me.
I was like, okay, now they're just overdoing it. They should have done the first one prequel and then maybe the second one, because
I was okay with just the first one. And then they set it up for the sequel and I saw the sequel and I was like, okay, if they do any more, that I'm pretty much tapped out. Like, it was like another example of a good one, an okay one, but set a standard, and then a bad one all at once.
Yep.
The Cloverfield franchise.
Yeah.
I dislike Paradox. I got what they were trying to do. I can understand it. Was not for me. I think it's terrible. Cloverfield, I'm biased on. I like that it brought back the found footage film, because I love Blair Witch. Yeah. But I just didn't really think the movie was that great. A lot of people praised everybody for that film. And it's like, it's good. But I don't think it was what it was hyped up to be. And then on the one that I love was 10 Cloverfield Lane. I fucking loved that movie. Again, biasism is there, because like John Goodman being a fucking weirdo and being like, can you trust him or not trust him is such a not John Goodman thing.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it.
Because to me, John Goodman always like appears to be like the kind of the dad in most of the situations.
Yeah. Or like at least a good jolly fella, you know, like he's very charismatic and you're like, that's my best friend over there, you know?
Yeah. Like you're like, okay.
And then seeing him be like, not that, it throws me back to, like I said, when I first watched years ago, 1 hour photo with Robin Williams, seeing a comedian do a film like that. You're like, this is not them. And it makes you appreciate that movie that much more.
Yeah, that was me with the number 23 and Jim Carrey. Because like I was used to your Ace Venturas, your Dumb and Dumber, your friggin' a Liar Liar. And then he did that. And I was like,
yeah, so not Jim Carrey.
I was like, oh my God. Like,
you're used to him being a silly, goofy guy.
Yeah. And to this day, I still love the number 23. I don't care if it is R-rated or not. I will praise that movie. It's a great movie. One movie I never expected, honestly, was for us to get a Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark movie.
I was so happy with that. Like, from book to movie. Yeah, they did change quite a bit and whatnot, but like the way they did everything and the way it's all practical and how it's practical, not everything about it is practical, but like what they did with it is so good. And yeah, no, it's not scary whatsoever, but like, it's a very, very good, like, intro to horror for a lot of people. Like, I thought that movie was so well. I really enjoyed the fuck out of that movie. It's so good.
I got to finish watching it because I got to sit down to start it. And then I don't remember what happened. I didn't go back to it. But since we're in the middle of spooky season and we got Halloween coming up, I'm probably going to end up doing a movie marathon with me, the wife, and her best friend, because her best friend loves horror movies. I love horror movies. My wife does not like horror movies. Like, her extent on horror movies is Ginger Snaps. Like, that's like the most, that's like her level of tolerance that she'll go. Anything that like jump scares, it's hilarious because she's that person. Like, she'll throw a blanket up in front of her or a pillow or something. Don't
give
her a bucket
of popcorn. Got it.
Yeah. Like, give the popcorn to me. Like, if I jump, I'm going to jump away from the popcorn, but my wife will freaking shield herself with it. And you got popcorn everywhere. But I haven't watched The Haunting in so long that I actually forgot that it was PG-13 because
the most graphic scene I really remember is Owen Wilson getting his head taken off by the fucking lion. It's like the most graphic scene. And looking back on it, the movie's not terrible, terrible, but it's still pretty bad. Like, I love the movie, but it's pretty bad.
Because I remember watching that and House on a Haunted Hill The House on the Haunted Hill. Around the remake around the same time.
Because they're both fairly close to each other. I think it was like 97, 99 or some shit like that.
99, yeah. And I thought they were like a prequel and a sequel. So in my mind, they're probably the same. They were the same franchise. I was just like,
that was one of them.
Yeah. And turns out that like the House on a Haunted Hill was a remake of the Vincent Price movie from the 60s or 70s. I may have my time off a little bit. And then The Haunting was like a completely original one, if I'm not mistaken. So it was kind of like but let's see, for me, one that like, it never really caught my eye, honestly. And I don't have an opinion on it, was Megan. I know I've heard nothing but good things about it. But
like, I love Megan, but again, I'm biased because it's James Wan, but like, I enjoyed the stupid, silly shit that I got out of it. It was a fun movie.
That's what makes me want to watch it.
It's fun horror, I guess you could say. There's some funny scenes in it and whatnot, but like, it's just a fun horror movie. Like, the best way to like really equate it today is like, it's a modern Chucky, not as graphic, I guess you could say. That's graphic in the sense of human graphic, I will say. It's pretty good though. I enjoyed what I got out of it.
I kind of want to watch it because I've never seen it, and me personally, I don't have a whole lot of time to go to the theater, so I go off of a lot of Miz's recommendations when he goes to the theaters and sees a movie, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to stream that. Or if I get the off chance to where I can go to the theater and see it, I let Miz know ahead of time, hey, I'm going this day, I'm gonna see it this time, and he's like, okay, cool, text me when you're out and let me know what you think about this, about this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay. That's just how we are.
Yeah, because me and my wife love horror. But the thing is, like, we love horror, but like, it's very, very common in sometimes, but it's very uncommon. There's a horror movie she wants to see and I don't, or vice versa. Or there is a movie in general that I want to see and she doesn't, and vice versa. And like, a prime example I always use for me, like what I really loved and she didn't, there's two movies, which was Nightmare Alley and, oh my God,
I don't know if I've seen Nightmare.
The Northman. That was the other one.
That was like
those two movies. No. These are not horror movies. I mean, they can be in some regard a tie to it, but no, I'm just saying like just an example of like movies I love that she didn't. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And then for me, I think it was like Hereditary. She really loved Hereditary and I didn't. Like, I could not get into that movie. And there's a couple others. I'm forgetting them right now, but it's like just small things. Like, it's no deal breaker, obviously, kind of thing. But
yeah, like, how dare you not like what I like?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, but like, there are very few times where, like, there is a horror movie that's out that she wants to see. And I'm just like, I don't want to, but I will. And I've really enjoyed it, you know? like, I'm willing to give it the shot, but it's for the most part, like, I'm very reluctant for a lot of horror movies. Like, one I was reluctant with that I actually enjoyed, is considered horror, but it's also more action-y, was Dracula Untold with, holy fuck, why did I forget Gaston's name?
Hold on. I'll Google it.
No, tell me. Don't tell me. No, don't tell me. Why? Holy hell. I'm going to be so pissed when I find it. Like, Luke Evans, right? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Luke Evans. Like, it was a different way, but I did like how they kind of stuck more to his, like, conqueror side in some regards. I really appreciated that, but, like, it still wasn't, like, the greatest one, but I appreciated it. And again, hearing Dracula in PG-13 doesn't usually bode well for me, you know?
Yeah. And that kind of, like, I saw that movie and then I saw a meme right after I watched it for the first time where it had the real Vlad Tepes, his picture. And then it had, or not Vlad Tepes, Vlad Dracula, you know, the historical figure. And it said Halloween decoration champion, like 1588 to 1612 or whatever it was. I was like, you know what? Fair. That man earned that one. Let's see. I'd have to say one that I honestly didn't expect to be PG-13 for whatever reason, honestly, was Split.
I really, really did appreciate that movie. I know it really pretty much put M. Night back on the map again. It really did. Yeah. Really showed McAvoy's, like, range, because he did such a good job of it, like the drop of a hat of just changing characters and doing so well. Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
Characters, but changing accents. That's hard to do.
Yeah. Like, and he was just doing it flawlessly. He just did a fantastic job with that movie. And I give it all the credit it does. I didn't think it was the greatest, but I really did enjoy the movie. Like, I know a lot of people praise that movie. I thought it was good. I thought it was very good, but I'm not, like, praising it. Like, I still personally liked Unbreakable more. I appreciated Glass and Split in the same regard. Like, I enjoyed it. I knew what I was getting out of it. I appreciated it, but, like, just Unbreakable was done better. But I did like the twist to tie everything in at Split. And that made me appreciate it more. Just that small twist, because everyone's sitting there watching the movie. It's like, oh, okay. And the fact that they tie it back in, you're just like,
yeah. You're like, oh, and I enjoyed Glass for what it was, but, like,
I did too. I really did.
I feel like we could have got more out of it, because
we definitely could have. But, like, again, what we got, I will still appreciate and take, you know?
Yes. Yes, I agree. I liked it. I did. I don't have really any complaints other than I just wanted a little more. But
yeah, no. And that's the thing, is, like, when you want a little more, it's like, you really can't even justify a little more, because, like, mm-hmm. it's like, what little more are you talking about? It's like, I don't know, but I wanted more.
Yeah, it's like that weird feeling you get when you're craving something to eat and mm-hmm. you just can't remember the food. You're like, I want something savory. Okay, do you want something like heart? Do you want something savory and hearty, like a steak or a burger? No. Okay, do you, like, want something you savory, like a burrito?
Million lists, and you're still just like, no, nothing sounds fucking good.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, ah.
It's such a weird feeling, because I feel the same way with, like, for me, like, this is not a horror related, but director-wise it is. Like, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man franchise. I still think Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man film, just because of how much of, like, Ock was involved with the movie, and, like, how much they used him, and how much, like there's so much interaction. And I felt like if they had used Michael Keaton more in The Amazing Spider-Man, or not The Amazing, because The Amazing is Garfield, Holland's Spider-Man, whatever, I forgot. I think it's just Spider-Man, or it's not Fantastic or Spectacular, but either way, Tom Holland won. Like, if they had used Homecoming, like if they used Michael Keaton character or Vulture himself more, I felt like I would have said that was the best one, because they did such a good job with it. It was very good pacing, very good, like, everything with that movie. But, like, it's like, I wanted more Keaton. I wanted more, you know, character and villain. Because I really loved what they did with him. And I feel like if they did use him more, I would have think that was the best one. Because a lot of people praise that one. But I still think the second one's the best.
Honestly, and here's where, like, I tell people my difference between the three Spider-Mans that we've gotten. We've gotten Andrew Garfield. We've gotten Tom Holland. And we've got Tobey Maguire. Out of those three, I think they played different versions of Spider-Man the best. For Tobey Maguire, I think he was a better Spider-Man than he was a Peter Parker. For Garfield, I thought he was a better Peter Parker than he was a Spider-Man. But for Tom Holland, I think he is a good combination of both. Like, he gets
agreed.
Because with because with Peter Parker, he's still that witty, smart mouth teenage kid in the comic books, to where, you know, he's got his quips and his sarcasm and stuff like that. But when he's Spider-Man, everybody knows to fear the Spider-Man that doesn't talk or doesn't joke with you. That's why one of my favorite ones is when, I can't remember which comic that was, when he lost his voice, and like throughout the whole issue,
it's like he's a mute pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he just lost his voice, and like everybody's like, oh, Spider-Man, you've come to thwart my plans. Why aren't you talking? I give up. And like, that was the whole premise of the comic book. And it was just like a short story that I read. And he was just like, man, I got to lose my voice more often. And it was just like a little thought bubble. And I was like, but I think Tom Holland does a good balance between the two. And I think that's why we're getting a number four with Holland Spider-Man, which I'm kind of iffy about, but I'm excited for it at the same time.
I want to see what they're going to do. Like I said, I'm not the biggest Spider-Man fan, but I love his villains. I absolutely love his villains so much. And he's got some fucking stellar villains.
Yep. But I think that Garfield was a amazing Spider-Man. Like, no pun intended, but I think he was an amazing Spider-Man, because he, like, my favorite scene was in the second one that he did, where like the guy like pulls out a knife and he's like, oh no, small knives, my one weakness. And he like falls down and then just webs him up, and he's just like, oh, come on. Like, I was like, all right. And then you got Tobey Maguire, to where he was more on like the Peter Parker side of things, where he was showing more personality as Peter Parker than he was showing as Spider-Man up until number three, which I know not a lot of people liked.
Again, three was forced. Unfortunately, it was against Sam Raimi's choice. He didn't want to do Venom, but the studio forced him to do Venom. Like, because you could see the tender love and care that went into Sandman. They did such a good job with Sandman.
I like Sandman. That was a good one. But yeah, that's just the way I see it, is the difference between the three. And that's my stance. I know other people have different stances on it, but that's the way I see them.
I feel you. No, but again, they're all good in their own regards. I always just equate it to like different variations, since they are obviously different variations.
Yeah. And what was it? Peter Parker and, or no, not Peter Parker. Spider-Man No Way Home. When we got to see all three of them together, I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. I just, like, again, with two, like, the Amazing Spider-Man number two with Garfield and Jamie Foxx, like, a lot of people did not like that one. I really enjoyed that one. I liked what I got out of that. I loved how they did everything. And people are like, it's too long, they did too many fucking villains. And I was like, you see two villains realistically at the end, you get a third technically. Like, it's really not that bad, but okay.
Yeah. Like, I love the fact that they brought back, I can never remember his name, but the guy that played Otto Octavius. When he finally got like the disconnect between the chip and the
he was in control of him,
and he was like, Peter, my boy. And I was just like, oh, this is the same friendship that they developed in the comic books. I love it. And then so I've got three that I'm looking at right now, and I've watched all three of these. And
Molina, Alfred.
I was like, Adrian Alphonse. Yeah. I love.
It's like sitting here thinking,
I love Melina, but I'm looking at three horror movies, and the order that I'm going to say these in is the order that I love, dislike, and hate. So I've got One Missed Call, The Wicker Man, and Before I Wake. I remember Before I Wake because it was supposed to be kind of like a new take on like a Freddy character, and it was very psychological.
Let me see real quick if that's what I'm thinking of.
But I remember bits and pieces of that one. I just know that it was,
oh yes, yes, I do remember that one. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, that one was supposed to be like I said, a new take on Freddy or something like that. And the praise it got, I don't think it deserved. But the praise it didn't get is what I think that it did deserve, because a lot of the fans that watched it didn't like it, understandable, but the critics just like praised it and they're like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah. That's why I never trust critics. And this is also like, again, the limit we say to everybody, this is just our opinions. Like,
yeah,
we can say what we love and dislike. And if it's something that you disagree with us, and that's what we love to have the conversations on. However, we're not saying our word is gold. Your answers are still valid.
Yes. Like, I will preach this 1,000 times, read what the if you're like me, read what the critics say, go and then go form your own opinion, because that's what actually got me back into horror, because I got tired of the friggin' 58 found footage films that we had between 2012 to like 2018.
Oh my god! Yeah,
like everybody was doing their own found horror footage film, and I was just like,
or they were remaking some from other countries and stuff. And like, I get it. I know it's fucking cash grab, blah 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 blah. But like, there are just times where it's like, oh, like I'm finally at the point. Like, I will use this as an example. I'm finally at the point where it's like, I want another zombie movie, like a good zombie movie. Like, I feel like we haven't had one in a while, because I remember from like 2007 to like 2018, 2019, it was zombies 24/7. I was like, dude, I'm so fucking tired of this. And now enough time has passed where I'm like, I kind of miss that. I want some zombies back. I want some mindless, stupid fucking apocalypse thing happening.
Yeah, because I hate to say it, but I kind of blame The Walking Dead for that.
Because, oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I didn't like the show because I read the graphic novel.
Same.
And that's what threw me off from the show, because like my friends were coming to me and being like, oh, hey, did you see this episode? And I'm like, oh yeah, that person dies. And they're like, they haven't died yet. And I'm like, oh, and they're like, where are you getting this information? I was like, I'm reading the graphic novel right now. And I'm on, I think I was on like book number 8 when they were on like episode 4 or something like that. So like by the time season 1 ended and I watched all of season 1, I was like, who's that guy? He wasn't in the book. Who's that person? They should be dead right now. That's not how that happened. And my friend was like, oh my God, shut up.
And it's the curse of having the actual, like, it's like they changed enough to keep the show going. And a lot of people love the show. That's fine. I have no problem with it. It's not for me anymore. And the other term of it is like, you're cursed with the, like, I have the original print and storyline. I don't like the changes they made. But on the flip side, for me, it's like, I've read the source material, but I love the changes they made. Is like The Boys, for example. Like, the graphic novel of The Boys is pretty awful if you really look at it. And then you watch the show, and the show is quite great. So it's that flip reverse on both ends.
Yeah, I honestly like how The Boys started the same and then took two totally different directions, because there's a lot of stuff that they could not do with that show that they did in the graphic novel, understandably. But like,
they were willing to. But the thing is, like, I love the storyline that they're developing. I really do.
Yes, because if you haven't read the comic book, Black Noir in the comic book is not the same Black Noir we have in the show, because the Black Noir.
We'll leave it at that. Because with no spoilers on that end, because I know there are people who are reading those still to this day and catching up.
Yeah, another difference in characters was Soldier Boy.
Oh, huge difference.
But yeah, I like the twists and turns and the differences we're getting with this versus what we got with The Walking Dead, because some of the characters they killed off in the graphic novel that they killed off in like book 1 were there till like season 6, and then they would introduce people that were like supposed to have been introduced like forever ago. Like, I didn't think it was a bad show. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no. I have a friend that actually worked on the show too. Like, it's a fine show. It's just when you compare it to the graphic novels, I would prefer the graphic novels. And then again, like I said, on the flip side, I prefer the show compared to the graphic novels of The Boys.
The Boys. Same. Cause when I read through the graphic novel of The Boys, I was just like, oh God. Like, I was like, okay, well, I started it. I might as well finish it since it ended like 15 years ago. And now I'm watching the show and I'm like, when's the next season? Come on.
Yeah. You're more pumped up. Like it's giving you more.
Yeah. But the reason why I did not like The Wicker Man. I love the remake
is rough. I do appreciate the remake for what it tried. I do appreciate it doing a classic film like The Wicker Man, as it is an older movie. I think it was like 73 or some shit.
Something like that.
Might be a little bit later. Either way, or earlier, I mean. But either way, like, it was during a time, and I know it didn't age well. And then we got the remake, and I know it was memed upon because, again, that like the mindset of like those cults really didn't happen in our generation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the 70s, that was a huge thing.
Yeah. But the thing that ruined the movie for me was honestly Nicolas Cage. For that movie, I think that's where Nicolas Cage overacted. Like, it was just there's some movies where he's too much, and there's some movies to where he's like the right amount. Like the movie where he played Dracula, friggin'
Renfield.
He overacted in that one, but he did it in a good way. Gone in 60 Seconds, he overacted in that one in a bad way, but I still love the movie. And then you have him in, what was it? Face Off with John Travolta.
Fucking love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite John Woo movies.
That's where he overacted in a good way. And then I haven't watched the other one where he's the janitor in Haunted or Possessed, whatever it is. Oh, Chuck E. Cheese thingy.
I was going to say the Five Nights at Freddy before Five Nights at Freddy. And people were saying that did Five Nights at Freddy better. But I don't know. I've never seen that movie.
I haven't either. I kind of want to watch it.
Horror World or Wally's Something World or something like that.
Yeah. I want to watch that just because like I've heard good things. So I want to like watch it for myself.
I'm interested enough to like give it a shot, but like it still didn't appeal to me. But yeah, I feel you.
And then One Missed Call. The reason I loved it is not because it was a horror movie, but because I found it hilarious because it was, I was dating a girl in high school and we went to go see this movie, and the phone that they had in the movie for the main character was the exact same phone that I had. And it went off during one of the scary scenes, and it scared my girlfriend at the time. But I found that movie hilarious because it was basically a big Motorola ad. Everybody in the movie had nothing but Motorola phones. And that's why I love that movie. It's not because it's a horror movie or because it's great or anything, but it's just the nostalgia of it.
Movie I know I loved. Not a House lot of
at the end did. Of the Street was PG-13 with Jennifer Lawrence.
House Lost on the Left should not be PG-13.
No. I'm sorry. House at the End of the Street.
House at the End of the Street. That I don't know. Probably say I heard House Lost on the Last House on the Left. I was like, that is.
I might have said that. No, that one is definitely.
No, that's what I heard. So I don't know if you said it. I don't think I saw Last House or the House at the End of the Street.
Yeah. Ooh, The Covenant. I'm sorry. I ruined your train of thought.
No, you're good.
The Covenant is another one of those cult classic movies that I loved for no reason other than the fact that
I do remember this film now, but I'm still remembering posters more than anything.
Yeah, same.
I was like, I do remember this. It was a fine movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
One movie that I loved that not a lot of people did was The Lazarus Effect. I really appreciated that film. That was PG-13. I really, really liked that movie. I don't know if it was because like I loved Olivia Wilde from like House or whatever, but like I really appreciated that film. I love that movie. I really enjoyed that movie. Not a lot of people did, but I enjoyed it for what it was.
There's a movie that I stumbled across. I don't know if this is available. I don't know if this is available in all regions, but I stumbled across this one day when I was like just hanging out. It's called Slother House. It's a movie about a killer. Yes. It is a B horror movie about a killer three-toed sloth, and it is just as ridiculous as it sounds. And I loved it because if you get to know me, but it was more reasonable than rubber. But if you get to know me, you'll know that I love three-toed sloths. I love sloths in general, just because I they're just an awesome animal. When like you look at them, like they don't move fast. They take life slow. They only come down from their favorite tree to poop once a week. And like, they're just like these friggin' just innate living rocks. Essentially, they just move very slow. And I've always found them really cool. But yeah. And when I found that movie, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch that. But it's basically just to give a little premise, the sloth comes into play because it's a pet at a sorority house. And that's where the movie takes place. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave the rest to everybody else. If you guys want to watch it, it's PG-13. So there's not a lot of nudity, gore, or anything like that. It's very campy and it's very, very much a B horror movie. And that's what made me love it personally. You know, watch it, form your own opinion, all that fun stuff. But it's just one of those ones I cannot recommend. I found it on Amazon Prime, right? I want to say it was Prime.
Might have been.
I think like it was.
There's really not too many more like horror ones I'd say I would hate or dislike anymore. Cause like the other ones I can really think of that like I absolutely Prime Minister. Okay. Like some of the ones I absolutely loved are like some older ones, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Salem's Lot, Jaws.
Yeah.
Like those are all horror movies that like, also speaking of Jaws, I'm just watching a lot of behind the scenes for Romulus and a lot of behind the scenes for the Alien franchise in general. Never realized to see the alien fully like in frame and picture is at like 78 minutes in the film.
Yeah.
It's only, it's, I think it's in the film for a total of like 77 seconds. And the only other movie to like scare people that bad as Alien did was Jaws, because they hid the monster because Bruce, the animatronic was not functioning a lot. So the less they used it, like just kept on playing with people's minds, and like very rarely is in the movie, but it's done so well.
What I watched the, I tend to watch a lot of the director's cuts of a lot of these movies because I like to sometimes watch the commentary like Miz does.
I love the commentary.
For Jaws, the scene where she gets her legs bit and gets thrashed around in the water, all the screams were genuine because her leg was actually stuck in the jaws of the animatronic. So when it came to like the screams of terror, the screams of pain, that was actually her scared. So like it was real genuine stuff. So that's one thing that really freaked people out, because like, when did that come out?
74? How long? Jaws came out years ago.
Yeah. Because that was a Spielberg movie, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
75. Okay. But yeah, like before that, like their use of like screaming for anything was just kind of like, oh. But this one was like,
it was very, very good. They just did a fantastic job with it. Like there's a lot of like older, like even monster movies, and like considered, again, the original movie Monsters had no rating technically, but they're like rated like PG-13 by today's standards, I guess, at the most on some of them. But like they're so good. That's why like I love the original movie Monsters more than like anything. Like those was like genuine fear for like a lot of people, and it was just done super well. Like the fact that you can hear the original Frankenstein with Boris like fucking terrify people at the reveal, it's like something you don't hear about nowadays. But like the makeup and the special effects at those times, that was like state of the art, and it felt like you were there. You were genuinely horrified. That's why like I'm so nervous for a lot of these remakes. I'm very, very nervous, but I'm excited for Lee Winnell taking over the movie Monsters right now. I really am.
I love how he directs. I love how he writes. I love how he does his shots, everything about Lee Winnell.
Invisible Man, I really took me by surprise. I was going in like not really excited for it, but I was like, it's Lee. I'm going to give him a chance. And I really fucking love that movie.
Same.
So I'm very excited for The Wolfman. Very, very excited.
I like the one that we had with Sir Anthony Hopkins.
And Benicio del Toro. My only complaint about it is I hate the CG transformation. Everything else about that movie, fantastic. CG transformation, horrible.
I agree. But I did enjoy the movie as a whole, other than the CG, because the CG was honestly
so bad.
It was second rate CG for a first rate movie. And I feel like that's where they messed up. If they would have just done it like a Werewolf in London,
if they had done it anything but CG, I think it would have been better, honestly. Because again, you're doing The Wolfman. How are you going to use CG when like Lon Chaney Jr. brought forth like his own personal like equipment and made the Wolfman like himself pretty much, like, and it's just like such an iconic character, and you CG it, like what the fuck? Like it was just
done so bad, because like the part where like his hair started to grow in, because I remember in the movie where like they would show like it would look like a time lapse by today's
it's stop motion fading and fading in, fading out, fading in, and it's again, for its time, it was state of the art, and it was horrifying, and like seeing that slow transformation. And again, I would have rather had something like that, or again, like you said, American Werewolf in London. Hell, even give me The Howling, I'll be fine with that. Like, just give me practical effects when you're going to be doing something like that.
I would agree. Yeah. It was so unnecessary. Like, I feel like they would have saved more money if they would have done it practically. Because
I think so too. I mean, even if it wasn't a money factor, which it shouldn't have been, like there's so much more they could have done. They could have definitely done more. That was the only, I think that's like everybody's complaint, is like the movie was fine. It could have been great. It was very good in blood, very good on the story. It kept true to the original, but that fucking transformation, like, is like the worst part about it. It's like, why would you CG this? Because when they had him in the full outfit and they had the full outfit, it like reveal, like it looks really fucking good. That transformation is so bad.
so bad. That
transition's so bad.
I remember watching these two around the same time. I know that they came out during different times, but The Exorcism of Emily Rose and The Haunting in Connecticut, the one that came out in 2000. I didn't mean to click play on it. I think this one came out in 2008,
2009. Like, and Emily Rose was like 3 or 05. Like they're good movies. They're very good movies. I think The Exorcism of Emily Rose as well. A lot of people still consider like one of the scary films, if I'm not mistaken. It's one of those. I think it was like the director's cut version of it or some shit. I don't remember. But they still just weren't my films. They were good. I really enjoyed 05. Them, but they just weren't mine. 05. Okay, yeah. That's what I said, 03, 05.
Yeah. I liked it because it had one of my favorite actresses that I had a crush on at the time, because I was watching Dexter the same time I saw this movie, Jennifer Carpenter. And like she's an amazing actress. I know it was, I think this was her breakout role too, if I'm not mistaken. I'm gonna Google it real quick.
It might have been.
I think this is what got her into doing that stuff.
And just so you guys know, yeah, it's a lot harder to find PG-13 horror movies than it is to find ones, good ones at that too. But you get a lot more shitty ones.
Oh my God. You easily
drink the shitty R ones.
It's because with the R ones, I feel like they try to go for that wow factor. They try to go for that big monster reveal or that big gore factor. And it
falls flat. Or it's just like, again, I enjoy my cursing or whatever, but like at the same time, it's still just like, I'm honestly there just to see people get fucking fucked up. That's my biggest thing. As long as I get that, I'm fine.
Like it's like my mentality if I'm going in to watch, or if I'm going to watch a Friday the 13th movie, a Halloween movie, a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, I'm expecting blood, gore, violence.
Slasher. And I'm expecting my slasher.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm expecting. But if you name like a movie called Countdown and show me a cell phone, I'm like, what's this about? Like, cause I haven't watched that movie. So it got a rating from the critics of like 26% out of 100, but the fans loved it at 72% out of 100. So, you know, I might've missed out on something. I don't know, but like, I don't.
As I tell everybody, like what you like, dislike what you dislike. You don't have to explain it to anybody. And if you feel like you need to explain it, you might be a little too attached.
Except for It Follows. I need to know why. I'm kidding.
I cannot shit on that movie enough. I'm sorry. Like I have some close friends of mine that were like, that movie was horrifying, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting there just baffled. I'm baffled. Like, how are you guys scared of ghost STDs? Like, what the fuck?
That's all it was. I got another one, and I think I've mentioned this one before, but it's called Pulse. And I can't remember who stars in it. That one I forgot about was PG-13. It's got Kristen Bell and Ian. Oh, I'm going to fuck this up. Summer Halder. It's got like, I watched it because I liked Kristen Bell, but I think this was the movie where Kristen Bell's boyfriend self-harms unaliving and like has to like cover his windows and like red tape and stuff like that to keep like the friggin' the waves from coming in and like attacking him and stuff. I enjoyed that movie.
I don't think I ever saw it.
It was weird. It was like social media with the chain letters, if ghosts were involved, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
And then one that I did not like was The Bye Bye Man. Like I felt like it.
I know I didn't see that one.
It was super hyped up, but when I watched it, it was just kind of a letdown. It was another one of those movies that I watched the trailer of, and I was like, oh, okay. And then when I watched it, I was just like, why? What was this?
No, that's fair. Yeah, like because like I can, there's only a handful more I feel like I can go on with like how much I can praise PG-13, because it's so hard to find like good ones, and like most of them are just like meh to me, because like I remember for a long time there I was getting super pissed off because I'm like, oh, this looks like a good horror movie, and then I see PG-13, I'm like, okay, this is gonna be super tame now, and I'm not happy.
Yeah, there's two on here that I actually really love for various different reasons: Darkness Falls and Cursed. Mm-hmm. With what's her name, Christina Ricci. Cursed is a werewolf movie, but again, it's PG-13 and it has some really funny parts in it. But Darkness Falls, I watched that and that movie messed me up because I could not sleep without a light on for months after I watched it. And I was a teenager, because the scene with his mom, when she goes into the very first scene, was just so brutal. Like he goes, like he gets attacked by the tooth fairy, goes and hides in the bathroom, turns the light on. And the mom comes to investigate and was like, "Oh, honey, you're just imagining things. Look," goes into his room with the lights still off and then gets attacked by the friggin' tooth fairy. And he just hops in the tub and closes the curtain. I was just like, what is this? That movie was just great. Oh, Dracula Dead and loving it.
Oh, that's PG-13. Yeah, that's a classic one. That's just a stupid, silly slapstick film. And it's Mel Brooks. You can't go wrong with that film.
I loved it.
Dracula Dead and loving it falls flat for a lot of people. But like,
yeah,
it's so good. It's so stupid. It's so fucking, it plays into the slapstick and or how silly things can be. Like, it's just, it's so good.
I loved it. That movie's so funny. My favorite scene is where I forget his name, the guy from Naked Gun, where he raises up out of his coffin and hits his head Leslie on the chandelier.
Nielsen. Yeah. Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen. I kept wanting to say Liam, but
trust me, Liam Neeson and Leslie Nielsen. No, I know. Trust me. I've done it before plenty of times.
Leslie Nielsen. But I just found one that I just remembered because I watched the American version of this and I did not know it was one of the Japanese movies turned American. Was called Dark Water.
I've heard of that one. I never saw it.
Basically, the whole premise of the movie is a single mom and her son move into an apartment complex, and the boy befriends a ghost that drowned in the apartment complex. I don't remember exactly how, because I never watched the Japanese version, but I think the American version might have been rated R. Could be wrong. But basically what ends up happening is that the little girl wants the boy to join her in the afterlife, and she tries to drown him in a washing machine. And then the mom is like, "No, take me." And then the last scene is of the mom getting sucked into a fucking washing machine, drowning, and the boy just sitting in the laundromat crying as the camera zooms out while the friggin' washing machine that his mom got sucked into is still going. And you see the clothes like come out of the dark water and the dark water fades away. And I was just like, what? It was one of those ones that I don't know if I liked or disliked. I don't know. I felt indifferent about that one.
Did you enjoy what you got?
I don't know. That's the crazy part. It's one of those ones where you're just like, you're sitting there, you watch it all the way through. For me personally, I was like, okay. And then when it got to the end of it, I was like, what? Wait,
what did I just watch?
I was like, what? I'm so confused.
I'm so confused.
I forgot about this one. Jessica Alba's movie, The Eye.
Yeah, I do remember that one. But is that PG-13?
That is, surprisingly. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
I just remember she played a blind lady that got a eye transplant and then could see ghosts. And I didn't really care for that one.
It was all right. For what it was all right.
Prom Night, like that said, one was...
A silly one that's really good is Final Girls, or The Final Girls. It's a very good one.
I like that one.
Good, really there it is.
Yeah, Dark Water, 2005 is the American version. That's the one I watched. It's mystery, thriller, / horror. That one was also PG-13. I'll have to
watch it and see if I can figure out a feeling for it.
It was
weird. A movie.
It was a movie. Like, I don't know if I didn't like it. I don't know if I did like it. It was just one of those ones where I was kind of like I just kind of shrugged and like pointed at the screen. Like, what? Why? Like,
what am I supposed to take away?
Like, yeah. Uh-huh. The last Exorcism Part 2. Oh, the X-Files movie.
Dude, no. That movie, I think, is filmed between like season 2 and 3 or like 3 and 4, something really early. Like,
yeah, it's
super early. Like, I remember that show being like, I felt like that movie was made in like 2005 or some shit, but no, it's like 2008 or something. Oh, was it 2008, the first one?
No, the movie was made in 2008. Yeah, it was, this one, or the one that I'm looking at is The X-Files, I Want to Believe. I don't know if that was the second one or not, because I know they made the 2, right?
I think it's The Truth Is Out There. Let me see. Hold on. Yeah, the movie was 98.
Okay. Because, yeah, I remember that one, and I kind of remember watching it. I Want to Believe
was the sequel.
Okay,
yeah, so they made a 10-year thing afterwards. Yeah, I remember that being afterwards.
They made 3? Why?
That's the original 08-1 or 98-1. I was like, I remember that being like super far into it, but it's not that far into the show series.
No, it's really not. I remember that movie. I don't know where I watched it, but it was called Bats, and it's like it's a movie about bats that were experimented on. I couldn't remember the word. They were experimented on And then one of them got out and infected a bunch of like vampire bats. So like they got bigger. And if you know any, I'm terrified of bats. I hate bats because I actually got attacked by one.
Puppies.
I actually got attacked by one when I first moved down to Florida. Don't know why. I didn't do anything. I didn't even mess with it. I was just outside at night and it attacked my face. I had to get a rabies. I had to get 3 rabies shots in my stomach. Terrible experience. Do not recommend. And I remember watching this movie Bats. And the only thing I remember was this giant vampire bat that like was hanging upside down as this guy was like in this house with like a flashlight looking for like where the noise was coming from. I think he was like a plumber or an electrician, and he turns around and the bat like opens up its wings and like wraps him up. And like, he's like, it's like the scene where like you see like the imprints on like the shower curtain of someone trying to fight off the killer. That's all you saw. And then you just saw like everything rock back and forth. And then it got like real quiet. And then the lady was like, I wonder where the electrician went. I was like, he's dead upstairs, lady.
Classic. Classic silly movies. Gotta love them.
Oh my God, no. They did not.
They made a sequel?
No. Worse. They made a Bring It On, Cheer or Die.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm like going through to see. Oh, Blood and Chocolate. I did love that. I love that movie. But they made a Bring It On, Cheer or Die. I swear to God. That I've got to watch it now. Just out of pure curiosity.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to see if there's any other ones that might be. Oh. So for those that don't know this about me, I went out every summer with my grandpa because he was a long haul truck driver. And during the time that this was going on was a great time for you to find like really niche B roll or B horror movies. And you would find them at like Flying J's, Pilots, like just random out of the way truck stops in the middle of like Nebraska. And I just saw one that I saw when I was like, oh geez, like 10 years old, called Octopus. The whole premise of the thing was that like Octopus got exposed to chemicals, got Godzilla, became really big and just started sinking ships for no reason. I can't remember how it ended. And I can't remember if it was good or not. I just remember that about it. Retro Puppet Master. I remember that movie being Murder in the Rue Morgue. Command, like we're getting into the really niche stuff, like
yeah,
King Cobra. I think that's pretty much all of the best ones that are out there, and some of our personal worsts, because I've never seen Happy Death Day.
I have. It's all right.
I've heard okay things about it. It didn't really tickle my fancy because it was supposed to be kind of like a comedy horror.
I don't think it was supposed to be a comedy horror.
Oh,
I don't remember. It's fine for what it is, though.
I don't know if I read that. I don't know if I watched that one or not. Wes Craven's They. I'm not ringing a bell with me.
Oh, Wes Craven. Biasism.
Oh, The Right with Sir Anthony Hopkins.
That one was hit or miss. That one was hit or miss. I liked what I got out of it, but yeah, it's not that great.
The Cave. That one was weird.
Ooh, excuse me.
Bless you. I think that's probably about it, but
yeah, that's really all I can think of. But wait until the next episode when we get back into R-rated movies and you hear us gush more.
Yeah. Oh, there's one that I liked for some reason. I don't know why I did. Dylan Dog. Could not tell you why I liked that one.
Never heard that one.
I watched it as just kind of like a pass, but I don't remember very much about it. I just know I liked it. But
fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be about it for the episode. Let us know what some of your favorites are. If we missed any that you can think of, or if you're, that movie was just god awful. Prey. A group of people get locked into a bar with monsters outside. I think
one of the ones that I like that same concept is Feast. I loved Feast.
Oh my God, that movie
Feast is so bad, but it's so good. I love Feast.
I remember Feast because like the hero comes into the bar and starts like battening down the hatches and he's like, we're going to make it. And then instantly just gets his head ripped off. Like,
it was fucking great. So good. It's such a good, just fucking, I want stupid mindless violence movie. And I love the creature design. I really do.
They were so weird, but I enjoyed that one. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I'm done looking. I gotta stop. I will spend hours just like, what's this one? What's that one? Oh my God. But yeah, I think nailed all like the goodies and the baddies for us personally.
I would say for us personally. Yeah. I mean, again, some of our favorites can be some people's least favorites. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just freaking let us know like what you like, what you dislike and why you like them. Because, you know, if you can't, I would say if you can't like give your argument legs to stand on, then it's not really an argument. It's just, you know, like, I think this, why do you think that? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things that I'm going to hear and it's just going to be a pass by. But yeah, I don't know. Good Lord. We've been doing this for an hour and a half.
It honestly didn't seem like that. Yeah. I thought we were like at an hour. If that went by faster than I thought. Oh, whoa.
Yeah. I think next episode, our topic is going to be something a little bit more engaging. Maybe. I don't know. Well, let us know if you guys want us to talk about something. Cause
I mean, I can tell you, we can easily make a list of like just genre based on horror itself, but we like to make sure like we include either A, your guys' opinion, or B, what we feel like might engage with you guys. That's why we have a lot of different like listings of stuff. But like, I also know that you guys like to hear some of our personal favorites and whatnot.
Yeah. That one's cause I mean, shoot, you could ask me like, what's my favorite beast related horror movie, and I could be like, oh, that's easy, Slither. That movie was so weird, but it was
so weird but so good. So campy, but so good.
You're just like, why did I watch that? I'm happy I watched it, but I'm also disturbed that I watched it.
Oh yeah, no, it's a fantastic film. I love that movie. It's one of my favorites.
So funny. But yeah, like, let us know what you guys think, what you like, what you dislike, if you think that any of the ones that we mentioned were good, bad, if you agree, disagree, all that fun stuff.
Always.
But yeah, I didn't expect to actually have that many PG-13.
I was actually surprised with that too, but I do remember there being a lot because I remember complaining about it every time like a theater would show a movie. I was like, oh, this looks pretty good. Like again, Lights Out was when I was like, oh, this could be bloody. This could be fantastic. They could do a lot of like black and white horror almost kind of stuff. And then I got Lights Out and I was like, unpredictable.
That's kind of how I felt with Ouija. Like I started watching it. I liked the beginning of it.
I need to watch the second one, that slash prequel one or whatever of Ouija, or whatever one. But like the one I saw was fucking god awful.
Yeah. I will say that the sequel slash prequel, whichever one the second one is a lot better than what the first one was. But that first one was just
so bad.
So bad. Like I did not enjoy that. Like I started watching it, the whole opening of it, I was like, all right, okay, you know, like the first like half of the movie, I was like, all right. And it got to where they had to fight the bad thing, and then it was just like, okay, this is getting dragged out.
I can tell you right now, I've seen that movie only once. I remember nothing about it except for the opening.
Yeah,
not liking it. That's it.
I remember bits and pieces other than like the one part that actually kind of like got me, and that was where like the girl got her hand on the planchette and she turns around and the girl just pops up in her face. I was like, oh, that was really about it.
Another PG-13 that I did say I recommend for the cinematography of it was Night Swim. Movie's not scary, movie's nothing like spectacular or whatever, but like the cinematography of that movie is so good. It's really, really good. I love a lot of the shots in that movie.
I've seen snippets of it. I haven't seen like trailers of it. I've seen snippets of it floating around on like Facebook, Instagram, and I almost said MySpace. Oh, TikTok.
Don't date us like that. Don't fucking date us like that, dude. Nobody knows what that is anymore. Only old people do.
Miz is in my top eight.
Oh my God. Throw me back to fucking 04.
Yeah, for real. Hardcore. Just hold on, guys. Oh. I'm customizing my layout.
Can I change my HTML real quick?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Why'd you remove me from your top eight? What'd I do?
You didn't invite me to your birthday, Tyler. That's way not cool, bro.
Fucking stupid, man. Oh my God. I can't believe that.
Dude, I said something to my daughter the other day that was like us 2004. Little fun fact. I'm a dad. So is Miz. But what's going on in my top corner? But I don't know what that is. Oh, well. Oh, wait, I know. Yeah. I see that thing.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, that's my map.
I'll show it.
I didn't make this, so I don't want to take any credit for anyone else's. I don't know where the person I bought this from got it, but I like wood carvings. Burned? Yeah, it's all burned.
That's so beautiful.
I don't know how they got that much detail in there, but like you've got like the latitude and longitude lines.
I was going to say that's probably like laser printed on there, but either way, it's still fucking amazing.
Yeah, I bought it from my neighbor when he moved, and I was like, I like that. I want that. That's mine now. Oh, that's why I don't have my thumbtack in there. So that should be like that, but whatever. But yeah, both Miz and I are dads. just for anyone out there that doesn't know that. But I said, oh yeah, that was like way long ago. And my daughter looks at me and she goes, way long ago? And I was like, yeah, you know, like way back then, you know, way over there. And she was like,
the fuck did they say that? About?
She was like, Dad, what did they say that when you were a kid? I was like, yeah. She was like, you guys sounded funny. I was like, well, that's way not cool. Whatever.
Dude, yeah, it's so weird trying to explain your childhood to your children.
Oh my God. I almost had an aneurysm trying to describe what a VHS was.
Dude, it's funny. Like one of the things, like I remember my son before we got him his cell phone and he had access to Spotify and everything. I was just like, buddy, if you ever need to just burn a CD off of the computer I gave you. And he's like, what? I was like, oh my God, I don't burn CDs anymore. It hit me, dude, like a fucking ton of bricks. I was like, oh my God.
I tried to explain what a floppy disk was to my daughter the other day. And when I was like, oh yeah, it was something that we used to save files on and stuff like that. She was like, oh, you mean like a thumb drive? And I was like, yeah.
Yes, but no, this was before that.
I was like, it was this weird square piece of plastic and it was like this big and you, like if you touched a little like
that fucking big and oh my God, it'd be super careful. It was delicate as fuck.
Yeah, if you had to type out a homework assignment, that's how you would get it to your teacher. You didn't email.
You had to save it to a fucking floppy disk and hand that shit in.
What happened to me, and you bring the floppy disk to school, and as you go to hand it to the teacher, she accidentally knocks it out of your hand and shatters it, so she can't use it. Because it hit, to this day, I still remember this. It landed perfectly on one corner and popped apart. But all the teeth on the inside broke off. And I was like, I spent 8 hours on that last night. I'm going to go cry, man.
And now I have no proof that I actually did my work.
And she like looked down at it, looked at me, looked at the floppy disk, looked back at me and goes, did you save it on your computer? I was like, yeah, I did. And she was like, okay, so you get 2 extra days on the assignment and then you can turn it in. I was like, okay. I had to go home, find another blank floppy disk that was not in abundance at this point in time. Like at this point in time, everything was on a thumb drive and I had to bring her a hand typed or not hand typed. I had to bring her in a typed fake resume on a floppy disk because that's the way everybody professionally did it at the time, quote unquote. And I was like, why can't I just print this out at my house and bring you the paper? And she was like, because you got to print it out here. This is computer class. And I was just like, what?
And that's another thing. You just aged us. Computer class.
Well, surprisingly, I guess they did away with the typing class too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I never got to take it.
Who has computer class nowadays?
That's a good fucking question. That's just...
They teach them very, very young. Like I remember in middle school or elementary school, my son was learning how to use a computer because they needed it for classwork. And I was like, the fuck?
Dude, when I blame Miz for getting me back into Dead by Daylight, but that game has gotten to be like super fun because now I'm like, okay, I got to prestige all of my killers. I got to prestige all of my survivors. So that way I can have all of these perks. That way I can be effective and do this, this, and this. And Miz is like, game has
stolen my life away for right now.
Yeah, same. I've been no-lifing the hell out of it for a couple weeks now. And I'm just like, damn it, Miz. I blame you. I'm having so much fun.
It's a blast. It really is. Like what I've been learning with the game and what I've been doing with the game has been super fun, but that's for another conversation.
Oh yeah. We could touch on some of the killer lore for an episode.
Well, we could. Yeah, we can definitely go back into some of our favorites in their lore, or we can even do some of like our favorite horror games, because we did do that with Irish, but we didn't like go into details of our horror games, you know?
Yeah. And I think the picking like some of our favorite killers and going into their lore, that could easily eat up like 45 minutes.
Easily, especially depending on which ones we do it on. The thing,
the unknown,
like there's several movies I can just go fucking head deep into for hours.
Same. Like Miz is gonna give me a groan of dissatisfaction with this, but I love the 13 Ghosts.
Yeah a lot of people do,
and the reason I love it is because I'm a lore fanatic when it comes to certain things. Like I want to know everything I can about this one specific facet of this game, and I'm like, or movie or anything like that. And with the 13 Ghosts, it tickled that part of my brain that was like, oh, there's lore on these ghosts.
Yep. Nope. That's a lot of people, because I think now it's officially confirmed that they're doing a 13 Ghosts miniseries on all of their backstories. And again, not for me, but I know a lot of people love that fucking movie. I'm happy for you guys. Not my.
I know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be really popular. Miz is going to ignore it. And then when it loses popularity, Miz is going to be like, hey, I watched it. Still not my thing, but I like this, this, and this about it. It always happens. And it's not a bad thing. It's just Miz.
It's just how I am.
Me, I just like, if I like with Slaughterhouse, the thing that caught my eye is that the movie poster for it is literally a group of girls in front above a sorority house with the sloth above them in like an ominous presence. And I was just like, what is this? And I watched it and I was like, okay, I enjoyed that. Like, I'm a visual person. If it tickles that part of my brain where it's just like, ooh, pretty colors, I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. Like, I tried to watch, what was a horror movie that I told you about that I watched not too recently that I actually enjoyed? Let me see.
Which one was it? I have to go back through our text real quick.
Yeah.
Because you didn't mention that you watched one of them.
It was, that was when we were talking about DVD.
Yeah. We're talking about the classic movie Monsters.
Yep. That was on Blogs.
Yep.
There's a picture of you and the kiddo. Let's see. Where was it? Oh, Spiral.
Spiral. Right.
And that came out in 2015.
Came out a while ago. Yeah. I was heavily biased on that because I love the Jigsaw universe pretty much. Like, and I said, again, like, it's like, what would you like to see in horror movies? Which was, if you could live in any of the world, I said, I would love to live in the Saw universe, because like that concept of spiral would be like done a lot of different places. And I would love to see how that plays out, because I love the world enough to like invest into it, because I've watched all the fucking movies. Mm-hmm. But like at the same time, it's just like the mimic, like someone mimicking Jigsaw's work for their own personal reasons is like so fucked up, but so good. And I really enjoyed what I got out of Spiral. Not everybody enjoyed Spiral. It. I loved it.
The ending left me kind of like, are they going to continue this? Like, how is this going to play out? Like, I
hope it's a one shot. I really do. But like, if they do another one, I hope it's like another thing, like an anthology almost. Like, this is this story. Now here's this story, you know?
Yeah.
I would prefer that.
I did enjoy that movie. I know, like you said, like a lot of people didn't like it. I enjoyed it. At the end of it, I was like, okay, this left me with way more questions than I have answers for.
I love that. But I really did.
But I enjoyed it. I did. I don't regret watching it. It was a good hour and 45-ish minutes that I spent watching that movie.
It was very, very good. I enjoyed it.
I added time to it because I had to take pause breaks to help my daughter with her homework because, you know, dad. But responsibility. They're for the bird. I'm kidding. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I was like, I'd have to pause it because she was like, I don't understand this question. And I'm like, if Johnny has 32 apples, they word it so differently now, man, because they're like, OK, if you have 49 apples and you want to put them in 5 bags, but you eat 7 of them, how many are you left with? And you're like, wait a minute.
You got to figure out like as close as possible to it and everything.
Yeah. You got to subtract and you got to divide and you got to add. And I'm like, okay, we're going to make this really simple. And I'll underline the numbers for her. And I'm like, do this minus this and then divide by this. And she's like, okay.
Dude, the way they do math now is so wild. Common Core is such a weird thing.
It really is. I don't, it fries my brain because of how they word it. It's not so much the math problem itself. It's just the wording of it. And I'm like,
the steps that they have you to take is like ridiculous.
And then what throws me off is they're always like, oh, you got to show your work. Well, joke's on you, because I do all that stuff in my head. So that's the answer. And then they're like, nope.
I remember that all the time. It's like, I could do it in my head. Why the fuck do I need to write it down? But when you see that, you'd actually know what you're doing. But I already finished.
But this is the answer I got. Leave me alone.
You're telling me to take 12 seconds out of my day. Fuck off.
Exactly. But yeah, no, like my daughter, what we've been doing is we'll draw circles and then we'll draw lines in the circles representing the bags or the baskets or whatever. And that's how I help her out with her math. It made it super simple. And she's doing great with it. But yeah, no, times are a change and we're getting old.
I know, it's weird.
But hey, if you've made it this far into the podcast, just know.
Thank you.
Yes. This is just one of those, we didn't ramble through any of the parts that we normally ramble through. And then we got to this part.
Yeah. And normally we have our ramblings happening in between our subjects.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh yeah, well, I really like the others. Oh yeah. This one time I was in band camp. I guess the brain just synced up and they're like, oh, we forgot to ramble.
Yeah. Something like that usually happens at some point.
But I still want to see Keith Urban. I still want to see Carl Urban. Another blooper. Shut up, miss. I still want to see Carl Urban do a horror movie. I know he did Doom, but I want to see him do like a legit like horror movie. I think he could do it.
Oh, he definitely could. He definitely could. It'd be fun to see him in one. Yeah. And you know exactly where to link for the next part. Like, oh my God.
We'll talk right after this.
Thank you guys so much.
See you guys in the next one. Look forward to hearing your suggestions. Much love out there. Bye.
Bye.
Test recording. Make sure everything is running normally for the audio. Just one last check. And then we can get started.
Oh yeah, no, rather.
My cat just scared the shit out of me. I heard meow and I seen her face right there. Oh my God.
Are you recording right now?
Yes.
That needs to be the end of this. That needs to be the end little blooper before this goes live, before we start recording.
Oh my God, that scared me so bad.
Oh my God, dude, that is so good.
Oh God.
It's like from my POV, I'm sitting here looking at you and you're just like, doopa doopa doo. Yeah.
Dude, I almost punched the cat out of reflex. Cause like, I just felt something touch my arm and I thought it was my daughter and I looked where she was at. I didn't see anything. And I looked down and the cat's right there, pressed up against my chair. As soon as I look at her, she goes, meow. That's what scared me. Fucking hell.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, okay. That's going to be our test recording blooper reel.